Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Super Bowl is what's being laid down on this election. Yes, you can, in many parts of the world, vote on or bet bet on who you think is going to win the U.S. election. Is it going to be President Trump or the challenger, the former VP, Joe Biden? It wasn't about wagering do-re-mi like the people are doing in Europe on this election, but it was about the fact that 97 million plus, really closer to 98 million, have already voted. And if you look at past elections, we haven't seen numbers like this in forever. That many people. 70% of the total votes counted in the that's what it would equal. Of the total votes counted in the 2016 general election. Wow. More than 257 million people in the U.S. are 18 or older, and nearly 240 million citizens are eligible to vote this year. That's according to the U.S. Elections Project that comes out of the University of Florida. Wow. Kate Delaney, and this is what we've been talking about. It seems like for 18 months. Who knew that Joe Biden would be, you know, a year ago, who knew that Joe Biden would be the Democrat that would run, would be the guy who ends up representing the Democratic Party, the former VP, and who knew that we would be in a pandemic and the effect that it would have financially, speaking of money, 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 on so many people, crippling, and then on life itself and how many people have lost their lives and the surge in the virus and the fear of when is this vaccine going to get here and when will life return to some sense of a normalcy of what it was. So, wow. It is very strange times, my friends, that we're talking about. But let's talk about the election. It was all about getting out there for the final push for both Biden and for the president. So the president finishes up in Michigan, and that's one of those states that a lot of people feel he won't win this time around like he did the last time. But it's still a possibility. Again, you can look at the polls and shake them any way you want, but it comes down to the Electoral College and the votes there. And it is about getting to the magic number, which is maybe 270. It depends on what kind of map you design, but you know you need at least that. So when you look at the Electoral College maps, Biden needs to get to 270, and if Trump wins, he needs to win a number of states that Joe Biden has a lead in, including Pennsylvania. And like I said, Michigan is one of those states where the number there is why. That was one of the places that the president spent a lot of time. So the rap was on the road. Ivanka was with the president, his daughter. as he was winding things down, as were other family members in other parts of the country, too, in these last couple of days. And I wonder if a couple of things, depending on what happens on Election Day, and if we, in fact, can announce that we know who clearly has won, at least in the presidential race, how much the not having a stimulus has impacted the results of the election. And then what also has happened, of course, rolling back with COVID and the economics of that, which then also dovetails into what I said, the stimulus, because there are so many people that needed that extra little boost. And you know, you could say, well, you know, what's $1,200? What's $2,500? And the answer to that is ask people who can't pay their rent. Ask people who are scraping it together to pay their mortgage, and especially thinking that there was going to be a stimulus. Now, the Dow jumped 400 points, and so that bodes well as you head into this final stretch to see numbers not completely sagging on Wall Street, but that's just a crap scheme, and we know that every single day when you wake up, it's that way. But perhaps there's more optimism, and anything financially, I would think, that either candidate can claim helps them, and that's what the president was looking for. If you look at any of the spots, because a lot of money was spent on ads, it was about jobs, holding on to jobs, jobs in manufacturing, all the things that helped him back in 2016. What made the difference in the Rust Belt in 2016 might not have the impact from the way it looks, and on what it did last time. But what happens in these votes? What is it going to look like at the polls? Not just these early votes, but what is it going to look like at the polls, right? And we've been at this place before when we try to predict these elections, and then you see that it's not ultimately what happens when it comes down to the Electoral College, because that ultimately is what, like I said, what it's about, right? And boy, there has been debates on voting and how to vote, the mail absentee ballot return deadlines, what's happened with the early voting, the surge in the amount of people that have gone out to vote, the last debate and the debate over the last debate and Hunter Biden and what happened with Hunter Biden and Burisma and how much of an impact would that have had on anyone. And boy, some crazy things have happened. We all know that in 2020. And what kind of, in your mind, you're a voter, some of you listening anyway, as an eligible voter, what kind of an impact did that have on you? Is it better to stay the course, which some would say Make America Great Part 2, or is it better to have a changing of the guard? And if you look at the polls, it's a slender lead in six swing states for Joe Biden. Just very, very small, but the swing states matter because it's those numbers that add up in the end. Numbers count, and it's about the vote. So the push was on, the president saying vote. I never thought it would think that this would be the most important election. He said that, and Joe Biden says it's an election for the soul of America. More numbers we can count coming up here on the show.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a five-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym business down from three times a week to once a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to three times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowway.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Numbers, and we'll see what the final numbers are in the election. Maybe, I mean, you know, there's going to be some states that I think are going to have some counts that will bleed over, but will it matter? That's the key thing, because it's, again, all about the electoral votes. So here on this version of, again, we can count. What's interesting to look at is some of these legal challenges. There's a judge, a federal judge, a conservative one at that, in Texas, who said, no, this is okay. There was a push to invalidate almost 127,000 votes cast in drive-through lanes in Texas's Harris County. And this federal judge said, yeah, I'm not going to invalidate them, like I said, ruling that Republican candidates and a Republican activist waited too long to challenge the legality of the innovation in voting. That they waited too long because people have been voting, and he's not going to do it. It just wasn't timely. That would have been a big penalty for people who followed those assurances from their county leaders, and it could have gone the opposite way, but it didn't. So those votes ultimately, again, count. In other numbers that we're looking at, election day-wise, the first five votes in Dixville, Notch, New Hampshire, went to Joe Biden. worth kind of noting here, it's one of those things where it's so tiny, tiny, this little township along the U.S.-Canada border, that it becomes this novelty story. And it's one of the first where they make it known their preference. Last time around, the preference was Hillary Clinton. She won that little town of Dixville Notch, even though the then GOP nominee, of course, Donald Trump, went on to win the Electoral College. So there you have it. It is a cool little area, though, and it's, I think, fun that this is that early hours of the voting tradition and something that's always been announced since, I guess, 1960 is when they first started to do that. So 96 million Americans have already voted. And, wow, that's the biggest numbers that we have seen in an incredibly long, long time. Like I said, how many ultimately will vote will be 68% of the eligible voters. That's kind of the prediction, somewhere along there, along those lines. Maybe it's going to be more. Maybe it's going to be less. Is it going to be a nail biter in the end? Or is it going to be kind of a flip in the Biden direction, as some of the polls are predicting? Some are tight and some aren't. But in the key battleground states, most of the polls have it where Biden is ahead, but just by a handful of percentages of points. So that's what it comes down to when it's all, you know, said and done. There are other things going on. Would you believe it? There are other things happening, including COVID-19. 231,000 people have died in the U.S. from COVID-19. Out of 9.37 million cases worldwide, 1.21 million deaths, 31.3 million recovered. Total cases, 46 million plus. We're at the 46 million plus number, which is shocking if you think of where we started. Although, if you remember in the very beginning of the pandemic, and if you listened closely to what was being said, some of these numbers were actually being predicted. Sad, sad story in this Vienna terror attack. A couple dead and those that are wounded, over 10 people wounded in what they're calling a terror attack. It was right before lockdown was taking place in Vienna, a beautiful area. People were at cafes trying to get in some last-minute visits, and 7 of the people injured were listed in critical condition as of Monday night in different hospitals. One of the suspects was killed at the scene, and I guess there were several that were armed with rifles, and they were at 6 different locations. So they're still trying to piece together what was the reason for the madness, etc. And very sad. So even there's a theory it could be something to do with anti-Semitism, because it was near a synagogue that was closed. Excuse me. So the theory is that could be the reason why, but that is not the officially what they're saying. It's still being investigated. Hurricane Zeta, right? So we just went through Zeta in the U.S. Eta is now a Cat 4 storm, veering to Central America, talking about landing in Nicaragua, and Belize could be one of those areas, you know, Central America, that whole area in there. Talking about 150-mile-an-hour winds, that's usually what it's at with the National Hurricane Center. Might creep into the Cat 5 territory. Oof. Boy, you look at some of the satellite images and the storm surge anywhere up to maybe 18 feet along that Nicaraguan coast, catastrophic wind damage, and some of the flooding already has been incredible. Eta is the 28th named storm of the 2020 Atlantic hurricane season. It's like 2020. So many people are saying this. You can't be in the rearview mirror soon enough. It's been that kind of an unexpected year, and that just adds to more of it. While that was happening, in the Philippines, 16 people are dead. Homes damaged in a typhoon in the Philippines. Out of Manila, they're talking about this, that over the weekend, that 13,000 houses were damaged or swept away, and you had winds there 140 miles an hour, and it shifted a little bit, so it spared the actual capital before it blew out into the South China Sea, but it definitely hit a couple of those little towns and slammed into enough of them that 80% of the electricity out on one of the islands, and the roads down, and some of the towns just absolutely impassable. It was that bad. And again, this is all part of what they deal with, that with typhoons that suddenly creep up, and this one was one of those that just kind of crept up. When it comes to sentencing, Lori Loughlin, the actress, began a two-month prison sentence for the Varsity Blues scandal, where she had two daughters that they were said to be on the rowing team, and they weren't actually on the rowing team. And this was the reason they got into USC, and they paid this Rick Singer $500,000 to get the daughters into USC as these crew recruits, but they had never rowed competitively, and that, of course, led to a string of late-night jokes and punchlines, but also prosecutions. Over 50 suspects, including parents and coaches and others, in that investigation that had many people saying, yeah, this is the imbalance in education, and here it is right before us. Speaking of that, how about the SEC fining Florida's Mullen $25,000 for his role in the brawl versus Mizzou? And we're talking about the Florida football coach, Dan Mullen. And it was just this crazy bench-clearing brawl. And the Southeastern Conference said, that doesn't work. So the league also issued half-game suspensions for one of the Mizzou linebackers and an offensive lineman and another lineman as well. And a couple of the Florida linemen were ejected for game fighting. Are you even paying attention to college football? Somebody asked me that today. They're like, is anyone paying attention to college football?
One, two, three, four.
He has to pay that fine. $25,000. Oh my, oh my. Next, we're talking to an interesting novelist, and after that, we're taking you to Italy through the eyes of a woman who grew up in a really tiny town, and boy, she has fond memories. I'd love to go to that tiny town right now. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
making their final pitches. Both President Trump and former Vice President Biden have spent Monday making their final campaign stops. At a Pittsburgh rally, Biden accused the president of lying about the impact of the COVID pandemic.
Remember what he said to Bob Woodward, the famous journalist? He went on tape and he said to Woodward, he knew in January how dangerous it was and how many people could die. And he said nothing. He didn't say a thing to you, me, or anybody else.
While President Trump focused on Biden's record on jobs at a Scranton event.
Joe Biden is a globalist who spent 47 years outsourcing your jobs, opening your borders, and sacrificing American blood and treasure on ridiculous, endless foreign wars. Most of you have never even heard of some of these countries. He shuttered your steel mills. I got them open.
This is USA Radio News. Fearing election night unrest, Oregon's governor is putting the National Guard on standby. Governor Kate Brown put the Guard on ready for a 48-hour period before and after Election Day, while announcing that a unified command of Portland police, sheriff's deputies, and state troopers will be ready to handle any possible protests. The Guard says they will take up a supporting role. Portland has been the scene of nearly nightly protests for the last 5 months. At least one person is dead and another 15 wounded after a terror attack in Vienna. Authorities say multiple gunmen opened fire with automatic weapons around 8 p.m. local time at six locations in the Austrian capital. Police were able to kill one of the gunmen, but are still on the hunt for at least one other suspect. The Austrian army has been called in to guard key points in the city to allow police to focus on their search for the gunmen. Much of the historic center of the city remains sealed off while authorities urge the public to shelter in place. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Right now, David Mangels is with us. He's written a book called The Hermaphroditic Contortionist, and I love that name. I want to say it like three or four times to remind myself how to pronounce it. My husband is great at elocution, and I think he was teasing me and trying to get me tongue-tied with this, but actually it is just a well-written, fabulously thought-out book. David, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let's talk about why you wrote the book, because so many people talk about writing books, they have ideas, but they don't do it. They don't write a novel, they don't write a memoir, they just can't get to that point of where they put it down. So why did you do it?
Yes, I think everybody always says, oh, you know, I think I have a great book inside of me, but then you're right, they just don't seem to follow through. It's, I guess they let life get in the way. Perseverance, it seems to be a non-functioning hormone or something. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah.
But the reason that I wrote the book is that I could see this growing division in our country. And as I said in the foreword, it was before we had ever heard of a community organizer out of Chicago who became president, and then also a billionaire who came after him, who became the president also. But we've had divisions in this country before, of course. You know, you go back to the Revolutionary War, and it was Tory or loyalist to King George III, as they called him too, versus what King George would have said is rebel patriots or traitors. And that was neighbor against neighbor, actually, even back then. And then you can move to the Civil War, North versus South. That was brother against brother. And I suppose we could throw in even the clashes in the Civil Rights Movement. And that was kind of coupled with the Vietnam War protests. And then that brings us to today, where I could see where this divide between liberal progressives, commonly called the Democratic Party, and the conservatives, who are constitutionalists, as they say, that there was another growing division. And I wanted to try to find out why, if we had a constitution that we all should be adhering to, and I don't mean just the citizens, but also those who, you know, rule the land, so to speak, the powers that be, and how did we get away from this? And I kept thinking to myself, was there something in the times of 1776 that somehow did not get passed down to us? Or are we so far removed from 1776 that we just don't understand it? And I thought if I could find this missing piece, that maybe we could heal the country. And that's basically where I started. And of course, then, you know, from there you do research. My research consisted of reading, you know, Thomas Paine and Hume and Locke and Rousseau and all these various people looking for, well, it's like looking for this missing piece that somehow we've forgotten about, or it was never taught properly to us in school. And I was looking for it. And it took me a long time, but I kind of believe that I finally found it.
So tell us about, you know, this is kind of a philosophical adventure, I would say. Tell us about the plot.
Ah, the plot, the surface plot. It's actually about two friends. They're in college. They're roommates. And I don't really have a date for them in the book, but you can surmise that it's the late 60s, early 70s. Well, they're selling small amounts of marijuana, but not to make a lot of money. Maybe just keep the refrigerator filled up, maybe pay a couple of utility bills. And the one roommate ends up blundering, so to speak. And the other roommate takes the fall for him and ends up going to, like, the county jail for a year. And the other one, he becomes scared straight. He becomes a English teacher in a local high school, and his friend who took the fall for him, after he gets out of jail, he goes even farther in, or even deeper into, the business of selling marijuana. Well, they see each other from time to time, and the one says that, you know, hey, I know I owe you this debt, and the other one says, don't worry about it. If and when I need it, I will let you know. Well, if and when comes when his friend gets once again caught. And the story then becomes about the one who was scared straight, the English teacher, who has to repay what would we call a debt of honor. For him, it's really about redemption, because he's had this parasitic type of guilt on his soul for so long that he readily acquiesces to pay back his friend. And he really truly wants to. What he doesn't understand is what it involves. And what it involves is taking a trip to the West Coast to meet with his old roommate's friends and bring back a substantial quantity of marijuana, according to him anyways, a substantial quantity, to help pay for the lawyer and maybe leave a little nest egg behind if and when he gets out.
Wow. So, and sitting here thinking about this, and we had for everybody listening, a great off-air conversation. I think I could have sat with David all day long. How true to life is this story, this plot, because we draw from what we know?
I would say that it's quite plausible. You know, all through our lives, there's people that have helped us out, and if we can somehow repay them, then we feel better about ourselves, but we also feel like, you know, I did something for them now that I couldn't have done way back when they helped me out. And I think so. I think redemption is a big theme really throughout everybody's life.
Yeah, and you're getting some coaching back there, so you got to share that secret for everybody.
That's my better half.
And what's so interesting too is where we are now and what we see. You know, I mentioned about the philosophicalness of this, the feel of that adventure, and you think of where we are now in the United States and the conversation about even marijuana, medical marijuana, using marijuana, small quantities, etc. What's legal and what's not? Is that interesting to you as you look at, you know, what this plot is about?
Well, since I lived through those times, it's almost comical to me that now it all becomes legalized, be it recreational or medicinal or anything like that, you know. And, you know, to me also, it was all about how the law perceives it. You know, to me, using marijuana or actually anything is totally a victimless crime because you're just doing it, you know, to yourself or for yourself or whatever.
Okay? Yeah.
And, you know, I looked at why would you put somebody away in prison for even using like heroin? It's their body and it's their right to life. As it says in our Constitution and everything, that the only person they're really hurting is themselves. And sad as that may be, you know, I don't really want to see anybody throw their life away, but it's their life.
Yeah.
And to me, it only becomes a crime is if they leave that their house to go rob somebody to keep paying for it. Then a crime has been committed.
Right.
In other words, you know, the right to life gets you to the point where I said that you cannot legislate morality because of this, the right to life. It's your life. And when they said that, of course, they weren't talking about the pro-choice, pro-life issue of today. Infant mortality rate was way too high to even consider such a thing. And but what the right to life, if it's the right to determine one's own life, that's what gets us now to determine how laws should be formed.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting, and we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to cut to the chase on this one. For everybody listening, what do you hope that they take away from reading your book? People who go to Amazon and get the Hermaphroditic Contortionist, what do you hope they take away?
I hope they get a deep feeling about what I've written and how to look at things, because I just don't feel it's right for politicians to try to tell us everything that we should be doing. It's our life. It's not their life.
Yes. Wow. So well said. Such an interesting journey. This is a book that you will get lost in, and I can tell you put a lot of work into it. And we talked off the air, and like I said before, had a great conversation. I mean, seriously, everybody, I say go and pick it up, and you will be entertained, you'll laugh, and you'll learn. And that's what I think is so different about this book, that it really combines all of that. David, thank you so much.
You know, I did want to tell you that I did try to interject some humor in there, of course, but I also would like my readers to know that I wanted to write something that I consider to be beautiful. I've always been a person that read the classics. I wanted to know why they were considered classics. My book contains not a single swear word. It contains no violence. And probably that could be one of the reasons I'm having a hard time selling.
Well, this is the reason why everybody needs to go and pick it up. David, thank you.
Oh, Kate, I thank you very much, too.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Dominica Calabrese has written such a wonderful portrait of an area, really, that she grew up in Italy. I am really yearning to go to Italy, and I know that I have some family roots there, but listening to her family stories and her memoir, it just amplified that, and I think a lot of people can appreciate that. The name of her book is The Most Beautiful Rose, Memoir of an Italian Immigrant's Extraordinary Childhood. Dominica, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So paint that picture for us. Make us all envious. Tell us about the village that you grew up in.
It was a little small village, a farm village, really. And it was maybe 20 families. And we were all happy and free of doing whatever we want. We had fresh food from our, you know, gardens and everything like that. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful, yeah. We had no light, we had no radios, no TV, but we were happy playing and, you know, in the fields. I mean, you know, with no shoes on, our kids, you know, us kids were so very happy. There was no, I don't know, it was just love, you know, full of love. Everybody loved each other, they helped each other. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I like what what you described there when you're saying it was just beautiful, because what you describe for people listening is simplicity that we don't know, most of us, where you're talking about we were running around barefoot, there were seven children. You didn't think there was a lack of anything because you felt that overwhelming love, and everybody just pitched in and helped and did whatever they had to do in this rural old town Italy, right?
Right. We have wonderful parents. Of course, you know, our parents were wonderful. They did everything for us. I mean, we had everything that we could possibly have. It's just that we didn't have the things that we have today, but we were very happy.
Yeah, and you know what you said to me that I thought was so interesting, because Dominic and I had a great conversation off the air. You were telling me that you just weren't fearful of anything, that, you know, at age six, boom, you jumped on the back of a horse, you had to go do something. You just did it at six, right?
Yes, yeah. And I have had no fears. Nope.
And do you think that's because there was lots of kids, lots of love, lots of that whole flavor of what many of us picture in our minds when we talk about places like Italy and small towns and villages?
Oh, definitely, yes.
So you wrote this mostly at first for your kids, but I love the cover, The Most Beautiful Rose. Why did you pick that? Why did you pick that name?
You know, I was very close with my mom, and one day we were doing something, and I just had to ask her, I said, where did you find me? And, you know, she didn't know what to say because there was no birds and bees those days. So she said, well, I went in the garden one morning, and there was this beautiful rose. It was wide open, and then you were in it, and I took you home. So that was, I thought it was beautiful.
And so you had that life, and like many other people, sadly, and we understand this, you know, the hills and valleys, whatever you want to call it, of life. When you're 14, your mother dies. What happens to the family then?
Oh, I end up in the orphanage because my father had so many kids, and, you know, he had to work, you know, and so there was a priest that knew my parents very well. So he came to my father and asked him to send me to the orphanage that he was owning, you know.
Yeah.
And my father was not too happy about it, you know, because he wants his children close by. And then he decided, you know, I think it's the best thing to do. And I went. I was not happy, I have to say. I was the kind of, you know, kid that I wanted to stay close to home. But I did. I went, and it was my best friend day and everything. But 2.5 years after, my sister got married, the older one. And so I had to go back home to be a mother to my little siblings at 13 years old.
Wow. You do that, and then you come to America. What was that like? Emigrating to America, what do you remember?
Oh, my God, it was the worst nightmare. I'm sorry to say that, not because of America, but like I said before, I didn't even want to go to an orphanage. I didn't want to leave my town. I didn't want to leave my friend. But I had to come because I was minor. And I came over here, and my cousins, we used to be very close to Italy. They changed, you know, they were teenagers, and they spoke in English, which I didn't know one word of it. It was tough, very tough. But I got through it, you know.
You got through it, and now you live in Connecticut, and you have a family of your own. And what do the kids think when you tell them this story?
I tell you, they loved everyone had, you know, they used to ask me questions, you know, Ma, where you were born, what would you do, you know, but I took them many times to Italy, so they know where I was born, and they were amazed, Ma, they used to say, Ma, this is beautiful, I wish we lived here, you know, like, no phone, no cars, no, you know, it, they were amazed. But what a peaceful town, you know. Still is today, but fortunately there's a lot of what we have here now, cell phones, you know, computers, cars, but still it's a beautiful town.
Yeah, I think there's a lesson in this about simplicity, which I was hinting at or saying in the very beginning of this, that we just, even your kids see this, that we secretly all yearn for that. Tell us about the village, the name of the village, and what the actual village was like. It was small.
My village where I was born?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still in my heart. If I would have to go back to Italy again, which is not going to happen, but to stay, that's what I will go back. I'll go back to my little village and rebuild a house, which there's no houses there anymore. It's just a beautiful fountain with spring water that is, it's amazing. We used to wash our clothes in the back of the fountain. And in the front, the animals will drink the water at night before they go back to the barn. I mean, it was just, I don't know how to explain it. It was so beautiful.
It sounds like a movie. Yeah. I want to come to your house, though, and eat, because I know you can cook. I bet you make some mean lasagna and raviolis, yes. Right?
Yes. It's in my house, we eat Italian.
Of course you eat Italian. I'm going to knock on your door one day, and hopefully you'll have a lasagna.
That would be beautiful. I would love to have you, of course. Yeah.
And then you can share some more of these stories. What do you hope people take away from reading your book? Because then people outside your family and people who know you who read The Most Beautiful Rose, what do you hope they take away from reading it?
I don't know. I just, I'm talking to, you know, I say my life the way it was. And, like, I also think that, you know, when I mentioned being an orphan, that's what I always thought. That's always in my mind. Maybe I could help a lot of little kids, the orphan kids, you know, like, life goes on. Even so, you lost your mom or your dad, whatever it is. They're always watching us. Never give up. Be happy. So they'll be happy. You know what I mean? I'm very Catholic. I believe there is heaven. I mean, if you believe in that, things got easier. You know what I mean? It's been so many years that I lost my mom, and she's still in my heart every single day. But I have to do what I got to do, and I pray, and that's how I go on. You know, my faith is very strong, like my mom. And I think that, you know, the orphans, kids will get something, you know, beautiful from my experience.
Right, that you can get through it and hang on to some of those good memories and feel that peace in your heart. Dominica Calabrese, again, the name of the book is The Most Beautiful Rose, Memoir of an Italian Immigrant's Extraordinary Childhood. I want to go back to that village. I want to go there. Thank you so much.
Can I have just one thing?
Sure.
I'd like to thank you, the staff of the Read It Magnus that published my book. They were very wonderful. Thank you very much to everyone. Thank you to you. And, you know, like I said, everyone, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dominica. Thank you for coming on. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show.
This is sponsored by Amazon. Shoppers, no need to wait to score amazing deals this year. Amazon has holiday deals earlier than ever, so the Black Friday discounts are already here. Amazon's Holiday Dash Deals event is serving up holiday cheer and early savings this year to give customers even more time to shop and save. You'll find daily deals and discounts from some of the hottest brands and small businesses, making it easy to find something for everyone on your list for less. Elizabeth Gordon, Amazon, says.
This year, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to stress less. That's why Amazon is focused on providing our customers with incredible savings and gift ideas this entire season, plus fast, free, and convenient delivery options so they can beat the holiday hustle and enjoy more time with loved ones.
Don't wait until the last minute this year. Take advantage of early savings and shop for everyone on your list. Head to Amazon.com/holiday-or shop from anywhere with the Amazon app.